Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're gathered on this beautiful Lord's Day, in which we have the baptismal liturgy, an ancient tradition through the baptisms in the liturgy. Because baptism is not a private sacrament, these two little beautiful twin babies enter the kingdom of God together, enter the body of Christ with us, which is why we have this beautiful sacrament in the midst of paradise and divine liturgy. So our hearts rejoice on this day. Why are we so happy when we baptize babies? Well, I think one reason is this. We love our children, so we're happy when our kids take their first steps. We're happy when our kids learn to read, ride a bike, all those things. So invariably, one of the joys of being a parent are those things. And among the heartaches, to see your children baptized is a very beautiful thing. We have to be very careful that this doesn't just remain a kind of sentimental happiness. Oh, it's so beautiful. The dress is beautiful, which they are, baptismal gowns, and it's a beautiful service and all. They're so nice. And we can often leave it there if we're not careful. But that's the minimum. That's not bad that we're together as a family and the godparents are close to them. But why do we rejoice today? You know, they take baths all the time. That water, why does that matter? Because they're being reborn in water in the Spirit. And we say in the prayers, they are no more children of the body, but children of God's kingdom. And so as parents, it gives us great joy that these children are now sealed for eternity. They're going to get sick. And God willing, long after we're dead, they're going to pass away. But we're not afraid of that because they are one with the living God. They died with Him in baptism. They rose with Him in baptism. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit and Holy Chrismation. And they're going to receive the living God. I am the bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats, when these new little ones today eat of it, they will live forever. That's what we want for ourselves. What we want for our children more than anything. We are temporarily given our children to be stewards of them. They're not ours. Which you realize, people lose children, they know they're not theirs. They belong to God and they're given to us. For a short time, for us, for what? For fun? Yeah, they're really fun. For joy? Yes. For heartache? That too. But for salvation. God gave you children and gave this. If you don't have children biologically, you have them in this church, adults. And God gave these children to us into society. And God made life this way. Why? So that families and the church raises up saints. Raises up holy people to bring other people to salvation, to find true joy, and to prepare them for paradise. So you're not getting them ready for Harvard. That's so minuscule compared to what you're called to do. Or we agonize over their bodies and their health. And that's good. We should agonize over their soul. What are your kids talking about? What are they listening to? What does their heart love? Do your kids, their heart love church? Do they love kissing icons? Do they love to read spiritual books? They will if one thing happens. If you do, parents. If they see that you choose in your free time to read the lives of the saints, they'll follow you. But if you just talk about it and bring them to church, but you're always on your phone and you're always watching TV and you don't pray and you don't read the lives of the saints, they're no fools. Kids are very smart. And this beautiful baptism today will be spit upon. Because a seed is planted in your kids' hearts when they're baptized. They can be saints. And it's up to us as a community, as spiritual fathers, as parents and godparents, this seed is watered through prayer, fasting, love, that in this crazy world, that fire of God is not put out by worldliness and by sin. It is so important, brothers and sisters. So how do we do that? Besides, okay, come to church, live it. How does it become into our hearts? Let's look at the gospel today. We read the gospel. We read two epistles today and two gospels. Why? One that's read at every baptism and then one for the Sunday. And so we heard about what baptism is. And then we heard about a very beautiful reading that Father Paul read about the healing of the demoniac. There was a person who was so possessed by demons, by sin. And he was scary. I mean, no one could take care of him. He was shackled with handcuffs. He would break them. He was crazy, demonic. And Jesus comes to him. Who is Jesus? No one really quite knows yet in the gospel. And he comes and he cries out. The demon cries out, "What have you to do with me, O Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" The demons called Jesus Son of the Most High God. Isn't that amazing? People who are made in His image and likeness, each of us who are made to be so close with Jesus, to be His servants and to be one with Him, we barely can believe in Him. So much of the world doesn't believe in God and they're atheists. Well, you know what? The demons aren't atheists. They don't believe in Him, but they sure as know who's in charge. That's the first word out of this demon who possessed this man, but he has no power over Jesus. He's scared. Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what have you to do with me? Right? All power is in Jesus Christ. There's no yin-yang and good and evil. And that battle has been won in the resurrection. The devil only wins if we let him. If we don't put on Christ. You know, demonic things, magic, all these kind of things, the world, you know, kind of the occult, paranormal stuff. It's so dangerous because it's giving power to demons. When all the power is Christ, it drives people to insanity and it's suicide. I've seen it, brothers and sisters. And so, but if we believe in Christ, we live in Him, and we love Him, the demons can have no power from us, and we can be free. So how are we free? What happens today? The Lord had told the demon to come out, and the demons are so scared, and He says, what's your name? Legion. What does that mean? That meant there wasn't one demon in this man. There was tons of demons in this man. And guess what the Father said? There's demons in us too. The demon of lust, the demon of anger, the demon of gluttony, the demon of lack of forgiveness. Oh, I'm not demon-possessed, Father. To some extent, all of us are demon-possessed, or we wouldn't do stupid things that we do, right? Most people are good people, want to do good things, but what do we end up doing? There's an evil one, and he's after your soul, and there's the living God, and he is after your soul, and he has all the power if we give our lives to him. So these demons are, even all these legions of demons are nothing compared to Jesus. And they say, please don't send us into the abyss. Let us go into those pigs. There's a bunch of swine there. By the way, Jews shouldn't keep pigs, right? Because they're unclean animals. So these people were breaking the law of Moses because for money. Just they were saying, let's disregard what our religion says because money is the most important. But it was their livelihood. And now the demons rush out of this one puny man and they take thousands of pigs. And they're so frenzied, and they run into this lake, and they are drowned, dead into it. Imagine the suffering of that one man, that all that was in that one heart, that one man. Next time you see a person sinning and struggling, don't you dare judge them. Because look what the demons can do to people. But look how Christ can change them. So they're cast into this, and all of a sudden, wow. The people see this amazing miracle. They're shocked. What do? The people? They leave? And they come back saying something very interesting. They come back, they all see it, and now they see the greatest miracle. That crazy demon-possessed man who was naked, never could put clothes on, he's fully clothed and he's in his right mind. And he's sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, hearing about the kingdom of God. Hearing about the kingdom of God. Now what is their response? What would our response be? Their response is, they're afraid, leave us. Get out of here, Jesus. We don't want you. And what does the Lord do? He doesn't say, hey, wait a minute. I'm sharing the kingdom of God with this man. Don't you want the kingdom of God? Come on, come on. No. It says the Lord was quiet. He walked down, he got into the boat, and he left. What does that mean? The Lord loves you so much, he will not pound down the door of your heart. You have freedom given to you by God. But God will not force you. And you might miss the most beautiful opportunity. These men and women, they had the opportunity to sit at the feet of the living God. That'd be the one opportunity in their life. And they're going to face him again when they see him at the judgment seat. They had that, and they're going to regret it so badly that they could be with Christ. But what was more important? Money. Sacrifice. And we shouldn't judge them too much because, think about it, their livelihood was destroyed. I wonder this question the fathers say. If there was a brother or sister in this church or a person on the street, one of your fellow human beings, and they were afflicted with demon possession or sickness, and God came to you and said, Michael, I'm speaking a name, John, Sally, I will heal this fellow human being of yours. But the payment is everything. Everything you own. All your livelihood. Will you do it? How many of us would walk away saying, well, they'll be okay. They'll be okay. I'm sure God will take care of them. I can't really, that's too much to give up. I can't do that. And we'd walk away just like them. We'd say, Jesus, get out of here, because we care more about the things of this life. So we shouldn't judge them very much in the gospel because we are weak like this. But we can't live this way. We can't lack love for someone in this way. The Lord does require that of us, because all their livelihood was gone now. But how could have they reacted? They could have been like Saint Fotini, the Samaritan woman who's on our icon on the wall right there. Same thing happened. The Lord came to her, called her out on her sin, and she left seeing a great miracle, but she didn't. She said, come see a man who told me all I've ever done. Come see God. And they came, what did they do? Healing, teaching, everything. Those same men could have gone to the village and called everyone back and said, please heal us. Teach us about the kingdom of God. Heal our sick, our lepers. Please change our life. We'll give everything to you. But they didn't. Instead, they said, get out of here. Get off my land, as we Americans would say. I don't want you here. And we do this all the time to Jesus, who is a jealous God. He wants your heart. People do it to priests all the time. Get out of here, priest. I don't want your advice. I don't want your advice. I'm like, don't judge my kids. Don't judge. I'm fine. I'm very happy being worldly. And we retreat, often out of love, because we can't force you. But we want to. We love you so much. Christ loves us so deeply. And the question today is, in this day of this baptism, how are we going to protect these children and raise them in the faith? Us adults, we have to be transformed in the faith, or we can teach. You can't give what you don't got. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to cast out all the swine-like nature in ourselves, the fathers say. It is a big sacrifice. The Lord, it's not just like change a few things in your life to become Orthodox or to become serious in your faith if you've been Orthodox your whole life. It's not little changes, brothers and sisters. Because, for instance, if you want to change your career, you make big changes, right? You don't go from being like a doctor, I want to be an aerospace engineer, and just go and say, you know what? I read one book, but is that good? Is that enough? I just made a little switch. No, it's a whole change and shift. Does that make sense? So for us to put on the mind of Christ, it is difficult, brothers and sisters, but it's so worth it. And more importantly, there's no other way to Him. As long as we're just giving little a pittance to God, we give a little bit here, we don't tie it to the church because we're selfish and we're worried. We don't give to poor people. We don't come to the services. We don't pray. We don't lead the lives of the saints, and we just stay in our rut. Why? Often not because we don't want to, because we don't believe. We don't believe God can get rid of this brutishness out of us, this piggishness. But the saints show us it's not true. People in this community show it's not true. The monastics show us it's not true. The lives of the saints show us it doesn't have to be this way. And it better not be that way for our kids. It is a terrible world out there, brothers and sisters. Way worse than when you were a kid. And I don't care if you're 20. It's worse now than you can ever imagine. But the grace of God is the same as the day of Pentecost. And it will never recede. And as the darkness grows, the light it shines brighter. They're the newly illumined. That means photices. They are illumined. They have light. And what are we going to do, brothers and sisters? You have light too. Are you going to dampen that light and darken it by your addiction? Are you going to let TV and your phone and your laziness and your lust dampen the light of Christ? How sad. And you know what it leads to? Nothing good. Depression. Sadness. Maybe a few petty addictions that give us short-term pleasure, but emptiness fills us and this world. No excuse for us, brothers and sisters. Those of us who are baptized, the light of Christ is in you. Even if it seems dormant, God can make you new and whole, and He can drive out every demon in you. But you have to be willing to look and see that you have piggishness in you. We all have swine and sickness and disgustingness in our life. We won't forgive. It's disgusting. We have lust. It's disgusting. We want to sit on our phones instead of pray. That's so sad and disgusting. What do you do? Just make a change. We have the self-fulfilling prophecies, brothers and sisters, that we're never going to change. That is to make God powerless. No one thought that demon-possessed man could be changed. No one. And he's fully clothed in his right mind. God raises the dead. He can certainly raise you from the death of your laziness. Father, I'll never be a person of prayer. You know how many saints said that and they became fiery people of prayer? I'm too gluttonous. I like food. I'll never like fasting. Fasting stinks. If you try, you can love fasting and overcome addiction and be like an angel in the flesh a little bit. So, brothers and sisters, that's my prayer today. The Lord is with us right now. You know, we're lucky. We don't have one opportunity that gets blown. We blow it all the time until God, get out of here. But you know what He does? He keeps coming back to us. How does He come to us? When you read the Scriptures, St. Mark the Ascetic says, God is walking in the Scriptures waiting to meet you. So open the New Testament and read it every day and God will meet you. And you'll have another chance not to send Him away. When you come to liturgy and you pray, God is here. We say Christ is in our midst. He's here closer than our own hearts. Don't push Him away. When you do your prayers in front of your home icons and you're saying, should I pray, should I not? Let the invitation of our beautiful Jesus invite you. Don't say no to Him again. Because what if it's the last time, brothers and sisters? We had someone in the parish lose a close relative recently, 30 years old, dead in a car accident this week. It's later than we think, brothers and sisters. We always think, oh, there'll be another chance. And someone has to wake up in the kingdom and face the reality of their whole life. And I want that meeting for each of us to be so beautiful, and we're ready for that, to always be ready. How do we do that? Live the life in the Orthodox Church. Do your prayers. You always want to? No, but and be inspired with the love of Christ. I don't want to turn you away, Jesus. Let's be inspired to start coming to confession. How? Why? To get that piggishness out of yourself. The Lord could drive out all those demons and all those pigs, and He slaughtered those swine. The living God slaughtered thousands of the disgusting swine, and the saints say that every disgusting thing in my heart and your heart, the Lord can shatter it in a second when you come to confession. Those of you who aren't baptized, He invites you to the waters of baptism to shatter those demons in all of our hearts. So may our Lord Jesus Christ protect these newly illumined children, all of our children, and each of us who are called to be children, each of our hearts. May we put on the armor of Christ in baptism, renew it, and get rid of the disgusting piggishness by coming to love holy confession. Grab the coattails of your priest, your spiritual fathers, who love you, and let us all together cast out the demons of our hearts, cast out this piggishness, so the light of Christ can shine from us, and to this terribly broken world, they can keep the light of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.